She talked about going out on the trail on our bikes. We do that about once a week. But we had went out that trail so many times and just had such a good time. People planting cabbage and stuff out there, and they come in the afternoons and go to their houses. But it was just a picturesque place right out in the jungle. And never thought about it one time, but there's a real danger in the jungle with the onsa, which is a spotted leopard. They get big and they're dangerous. We had one man that I was in the drugstore, and they come in talking about how he had been killed, that he was attacked by two of these spotted leopards, and he killed one of them, and the other one killed him. There was blood all over the beach, and they talked about, man, old Sebastian, boy, God rest his soul, he's gone. And about 4 days later, he comes into town. And he's already dead as far as everybody else was concerned, but he comes in town. He had killed one of them and went after the other one and left all his boat and everything there and didn't come back for days later. He was after that also, but it's sort of dangerous. So one day, we went out there, and they'd cut a new section of trail out there, big, tall trees and real dark in the jungle. We'd go on through there. I said, well, Lynn, you know that there's probably some onsa out here, some of these spotted leopards. And she said, well, let's turn around. We turned around, went back home. And the next week, we was fixing to go out there. We was going to get our bicycles. And we go, I said, what about those? She said, get your pocket knife. So I said, yeah, I'm going to get that pocket knife. If that spotted leopard comes around, well, I'll take care of him with my pocket knife. There you go. But she wanted some kind of protection. I didn't have a gun, so I just had to take what I had, my pocket knife. Well, that was pretty good. One time she was cooking. She had you go to the store, and I don't always have written on there what meat you have. This was when we were in Manaus. And she brought it in, and she bought some fish, she thought. And she cooked it. And when I come in that day at lunchtime, it smelled funny. I said, that fish smells funny there, but it was all right. She fried it up, and the kids were eating it. And about halfway through the meal, we was all enjoying our meal, and a little Brazilian lady comes in, and she says, Dona Lee, what did you cook alligator for? Alligator, and then she wouldn't eat another bite of that thing. Of course, the kids cleaned it all up. They didn't care what it was. It was good. But it's always a surprise. One day she come home with her groceries. When she got home, walked in the door, and the dog always sticks his nose up there and he'd get the door open. And he got the door open, and so since the door was open, something had got in while she was gone. Got the groceries up there, and all of a sudden, sitting right there on the countertop was a kalunga, which is a giant lizard, one of them big lizards, that long. And, of course, he jumped off of there and started running around. She started screaming. I went in there and got an aluminum baseball bat. I knew it was going to come in handy. I never could put no baseball down there, but I was going to use it that time. I chased that thing all over the house, and he wouldn't come in for nothing. I couldn't catch him for nothing. I was just trying to get him in. And finally, I had a dog that a missionary had left with me. He was notorious for killing kalungas. And I said, man, if I can get him in the house, he'll kill this thing. He'll chase him down and get him. And so I got him, and I said, come on, Buster, come on in. And he wouldn't come in. Well, see what had happened. That missionary used to let him come in the house, and he would lay down and sleep in the shower. Cool place. And see, when I got there, no, that dog ain't sleeping in that shower. And so every time he'd come to the door, I'd take my belt off and whap, right on the backside, and he'd go out. Well, I had my belt on, and I was trying to get him to come in. I said, come on. And I got him by the car, tried to pull him. I'm not coming in there. You're going to hit me with that belt. I said, okay, well, he didn't come in, but a Brazilian came by, Pastor Valsegis, and he went and he got that a bat from me. And he stood right in the middle. And the thing was running all over the house, but would not run out the door. So he just stood right in the middle, had it right there. And right when the thing come up, and he come down just like that, right on his head. That was it. He did away with the kalunga, got him out of the house. But a lot of experiences like that you face, but those are just things that happen along the way, things are going to happen here. As far as snakes, never seen a snake in Barcelos. They said there was one down there eating our neighbor's chickens one time just behind the house, but I never saw them. I think they must be scared of me. They don't ever come out. But we hadn't seen any snakes in Barcelos since we've been there. Saw more in Manaus than we did in Barcelos. But, you know, I was thinking the other day, I'd read through the Psalms. It came to Psalms 18 and verse 30. And it said, as for God, His way is perfect. As for God, His way is perfect. There's no path that you could choose for your life that would be better than the path that God has chosen for you. It's perfect. There's no modification you can make to God's will that'll make it better. It's a God's perfect will. Romans 12, chapter 1 and verse 2. It's perfect for you. And to know God's will and to do God's will, there's nothing better in the universe. That's the best thing that you can do. And that's why we ought to earnestly seek to know God's will for our life as individuals. And I can say so many times this term. I was sort of messed up a few weeks back. I was talking to a church about how our fourth term was. It's our first term without our kids. And I said, it's the best term we've ever had. And I said, well, man, I didn't say that exactly right. You know, they were always a blessing on the field. We're glad to have them with us. But what I meant to say is that many times God would come to us and He would confirm in our heart, you're doing just what I want you to do. You're right where I want you to be. And He'd send that message of approval. And that's so important. That when you're out, especially when you're out and there's not a whole lot of churches or church people, a whole lot of friends from the state side to encourage you, you can hear the voice of God speaking to you and just letting you know you're just on that bicycle, going on visitation, and you just feel that great overwhelming sense of satisfaction, and it's the Holy Spirit letting you know, I approve. I'm pleased with what you're doing. You're right where I want you to be. Of course, I'm also glad that He does the other side of that coin. That when we get on the wrong path, He sends a message of disapproval. And He lets us know, you ought not to be doing this. You ought not to be going down this road. And I'm so thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit there that we have felt. But God's way definitely is a perfect way. And we're blessed and we're excited about what God's doing in the jungle town of Barcelos. Barcelos is a place of great darkness. I mean, there's some great wickedness that takes place in that city. One Brazilian that's in the upper north region, the upper Rio Negro is what they call it, the upper Black River region. He was from there, and he said that Barcelos was the armpit of the upper Black River region. Now, why would he say that? There's some things going on in Barcelos that should never go on anywhere in the world. It's a place of great darkness. One of the captains of the army in Brazil, one of the captain's wives, came and spent a year in Barcelos, and we got to know her, became acquainted with her. And when she left, she told me and Lynn, y'all need to leave this place. Y'all need to get out of here. And she was talking about all the things that go on there. Well, what she didn't understand is that was the exact reason that we were in Barcelos. And I'm going to tell you why. God is calling the people of Barcelos out of that darkness into His marvelous light. And it's a wonderful thing to see somebody walking in darkness and the Holy Spirit lights their candle and lightens their understanding and shows them the way and the truth and the life, and they repent of their sin and they trust Christ and their life is transformed. They come out of that darkness into God's marvelous light and their whole life has been transformed. That's a great thing to be involved in. God's doing that in Barcelos, and we see it and we're excited about that. And in Barcelos, we've got a DVD that we want you to see right now, and it'll tell you about how the city is and about our ministry and how the Lord helped us in to begin there in Barcelos and what the Lord did and also what our future plans are there. And we'll just let you take a look at that, and then we'll continue immediately afterwards.
Barcelos is located on the banks of the Black River, which is one of the largest tributaries of the Amazon. It's home of the world's largest group of islands called the Archipelago Mariwa. The city is located 245 miles northwest of Manaus by plane, or about 307 miles by boat. Barcelos has an equatorial climate that's very hot and humid. The medium temperature is between 82 and 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Three major industries in Barcelos. Sports fishing is by far the most lucrative. People from all over the world come to Barcelos to fish for peacock bass, which can grow as big as 3 feet long and weigh as much as 30 pounds. The second major industry in Barcelos is the exportation of ornamental fish. New species of tropical fish are still being discovered in the Amazon. The third major industry is the exportation of piassaba, which is harvested year-round. Piassaba is a type of straw that's used for making brooms. According to a census taken in 2010, Barcelos has a population of over 25,000 people. Most of the citizens of our city are good country folks who like to hunt and fish. Their favorite food is a small turtle called irapuca, which they like to cook on the grill. Their favorite pets are monkeys and tropical birds. One family in our church has a pet paca, which is a member of the rodent family. Barcelos seems to be a wonderful place to live at first glance, but if you take a closer look, you can see that it's a city plagued with many problems. Alcoholism is rampant. Immoral behavior is the status quo. I recently attended a symposium to discuss solutions to the problem of child prostitution in Barcelos. Every day that goes by, the people of Barcelos are diving deeper into the darkness and despair of sin. As a result, suicide has become a major problem in this jungle community. In the midst of all of these problems, I'm inspired by the truth that God is calling the people of Barcelos out of darkness into His marvelous light. Our purpose is to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ so that these people will have the opportunity to turn from their idols to serve the true and living God. We are Bruce and Lynn Berry, sent out from the Calvary Baptist Church in Hampton, Georgia, and serving the Lord with Macedonia World Baptist Missions, Incorporated. In 2008, we returned to Manaus, Amazonas, Brazil to begin our fourth term as missionaries. We spent several months helping out at the Augusto Montenegro Baptist Church, while at the same time searching for a place to begin our next ministry. We found some really good locations on the outskirts of Manaus, like Ismael Azizi and the Conjunto João Paulo. We also helped to conduct a Bible club in a place called Nova Vitoria. But when all was said and done, we didn't feel the Lord leading us to any of these areas. Through a series of events, the Lord's hand led us to the jungle town of Barcelos, where we began to work with a handful of people who were struggling to keep the doors of their church open. The very first Baptist church in Barcelos once had a vibrant ministry in the community, but because of false doctrine, the membership had dwindled down to less than 10 people. We were committed to stay for only 2 months, but by the end of our time, we were convinced that the Lord was calling us to help restart the First Baptist Church. To meet the challenge of bringing this church back to life, we reestablished its Sunday school program. We also conducted individual home Bible studies to confirm the major doctrines in the hearts of the people. Lynn did a tremendous job with the children's ministries, teaching the Word of God to children 4 times a week. Many came to know the Lord as Savior, and others have received many seeds of God's Word in their hearts. The ladies' ministry has grown and become especially fruitful. We have some great ladies who love the Lord and desire to win souls. They conduct ladies' meetings every Thursday night, and once a month they have a special evangelistic meeting to which they invite all the ladies of the community. Many have come to know the Lord through these evangelistic ladies' meetings. We also began to conduct evangelistic campaigns in different areas in the community. The Bairro da Paz was one of the areas that we evangelized. We had 3 consecutive days of visitation, followed by 3 nights of Bible studies. All who completed the course and could answer the questions received a Bible. For weeks to come, we returned to the community to follow up on the contacts that were made, and we had over 20 people who had completed the Bible studies. Some made decisions to accept Christ as Savior, and others came to the verge of being saved but balked at the last minute because of an unwillingness to let go of their sin. Our men's ministry has come together at a slower pace, but we're pleased with the progress. We have just started a regular monthly meeting for the men to fellowship and talk about the things of the Lord. One blessing that helped us to face the challenges in Barcelos has been the visits from various missions teams. In 2010, a missions team from our home church came down and helped us teach the Word of God. They conducted a great Bible
school at the church, that was a tremendous boost to our children's ministries. They also went out on the river to conduct a Bible school with the children of the jungle community of Piloto. Two youth ministers, Brian and Jerry, did a great job working with the teenagers, and we had two saved. On the last service, Pastor Thad Bear preached, and two young adults accepted Christ as Savior, Nani and Alexandre. Since then, Alexandre has grown and become my right-hand man. He leads the music and is always willing to help in any way. His wife, Nani, does a tremendous job helping out with the games for the ladies' meetings, and she's also training to be a Bible club teacher. We're very excited about the progress that the church has made this past term, and we're looking forward to seeing what the Lord will do in the future. We're thankful for our colleagues, Keith and Issa Keller, and their family who have recently come to help with the work in Barcelos. The Lord willing, we'd like to turn the work over to a national pastor by the end of 2017. As soon as we return to Barcelos next year, we plan to purchase a boat and motor to begin a river ministry in nearby communities like Piloto, Samaúma, Dom Pedro Dois, and Cabuís. Sin has a powerful grip upon the lives of the people of these small communities, and only the truth can set them free. We're thrilled to be serving the Lord in Barcelos, and we want to thank you for your prayers and financial support that make it possible. Through your giving, many can joyfully sing the song of redemption.